It's about the Syrophoenician woman. If you want to find that in the Bibles, that's Mark 7, reading from verse 24, and it's also on the screen. Jesus left Galilee and went to the vicinity of Tyre and Sidon. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. Yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her. "For it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Lord," she replied, "even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone.
Thank you, Karen. Let me start with a story of a church leadership team. Here we would call the leadership deacons. And so there was a deacons meeting, a leadership team meeting. And as these meetings can go, though not in our church, I'm pleased to say, they can get bogged down. And this particular church had security issues with the building. There were people breaking in, the locks were dodgy, the doors weren't right, and so people were getting in, and it was all a real problem. And in the leadership team, for one reason or another, I don't know why, they couldn't crack this, and they couldn't decide exactly what they needed to do. And this went on, and the meeting got too late, and they still hadn't decided what to do. And so they said, "Look, we've got to crack this, so we'll have to schedule another meeting, which will have to be this coming Saturday, and we'll meet at 8 o'clock in the morning, because that's when people can get together, and we'll sit down and we'll sort this security issue out." And so the Saturday came, and the people arrived and went into the church building for this meeting. But to their surprise, in the building, in the kitchen, was a homeless man who had let himself in to the building. Maybe the locks weren't working or the door was dodgy, and somehow he had got in. And he was helping himself to breakfast in the kitchen. He had rifled through the fridge and the cupboards, and he had found some food, and he had knocked himself up a breakfast when these people arrived for their leadership team. Well, I wonder what goes into your heads when you hear that story. Now's your chance to be on the leadership team for 60 seconds. Turn to a neighbour and think, what kind of questions does that raise in your mind? If you're on the leadership team and you've got this building security issue, locks and that, and you turn up and there's a tramp helping himself to food in your kitchen, in the church, what are you going to do? Have a quick conference with the people around you. You've got 60 seconds. Go. Okay, that'll do. Right, hold those thoughts, park those in your mind. The question that we raised this morning, if we go to the next slide, please, Ollie, is a question: what is God doing in us? And the question I'd ask you to think about is, what does Jesus want to challenge in you? What does Jesus want to challenge in you? And then a challenge, something to go and do, adding to all those 40 Acts challenges, is reach across a barrier. Maybe there's someone at work who you never got on with, or you never talked to, or you're just never on the same wavelength, reach across the barrier, do something, put some chocolates on their desk and run off, or something, do something to reach across the barrier. But now to the passage that Karen read, this story of this woman. And we read it from Mark. There's a slightly longer version in Matthew chapter 15. Homework, you might want to go and read that and compare the two versions. There's slightly more dialogue. But to understand this story, imagine that there's a massively thick barrier that runs down the middle of the church here, cutting it in half, a barrier that you're not going to cross. Absolutely impermeable barrier, and you people, there is no way that you can cross this barrier to talk to the people over there. It is just not going to happen. It would be rude, it would be embarrassing. You're not going to do it because of this thick barrier. But actually, there's not just one thick barrier, there are two thick barriers. There is another thick barrier that runs the length of the church here, right down the middle. And again, because of that second barrier, you are not going to cross, you are not going to go and approach these people. It's not going to happen. Now, the reason is that there's two barriers. Is the first one is because you are a woman. And these people are blokes. And in the culture of the day, there is no way that a strange woman is going to go up to some blokes and start talking to them. It is not going to happen. In the Middle East today, in certain cultures, parts of the Middle East, that will not happen today. In Jesus' time, Jewish rabbis wouldn't even speak to members of their own family in public, let alone to strangers. So it is not going to happen. You're a woman, they are blokes, you're not going to cross the line. The other reason, the other second barrier, is because you are Greek. And these people are Jewish. And these people think that you Greeks are dogs. And they don't like you much, and you don't talk to each other much, and they try and keep their distance and keep away. And so there's no way you're just going to wander into their house and start talking to them. It's not going to happen. It's going to be embarrassing. It'll be ugly. It'll be horrible. You're not going to do it. But we have this Greek woman, Greek origin woman, and she comes in and she is desperate. Her daughter is so unwell, possessed by some evil spirit, and she is at the end of her tether, the end of her rope. And she hears that Jesus is in town and thinks, maybe he can do something for me. And so she does something incredibly brave in that she crosses the barrier. She hears that Jesus is in this house, and she goes up to the house. Jesus is there with his Jewish followers, and she goes in and begs. Well, after all, she has got nothing to lose. But what does Jesus do at this point? Well, it's kind of interesting, especially if you read the Matthew account, I should say is a bit longer. Because the first thing that Jesus do when she comes in and begs to him, he blanks her, ignores her, doesn't say anything, just sits there or stands there or still with disciples. Why is that? Well, maybe it's a test. Maybe it's a test. Is this woman really coming for help, or has she just somehow barged in to say her piece? It's a good test. It's a test that I actually use. People come to my door from time to time to ask for money and all kinds of stuff and so all sorts. And I talk to them and say, well, what is it you want? And it transpires that they want a bus to Newmarket or a train to Cambridge or all kinds of stuff. So I set them a test. I say, okay, I'll buy you a train ticket to Cambridge. No worries, you know, we can do that. And I'll walk down to the station with you. I'll buy you a ticket. I'll see you on the train. But I can't do it until 5 o'clock. You said you don't need to go straight away, so come back at 5 o'clock and then we'll go. And what do you know? Some people don't come back. Other people do. It's a test. Do they really want the help? Maybe Jesus is setting the test. But as this plays out, we read the story and we tunnel our vision to just seeing Jesus and the woman. But remember, in this story, there are three characters. There's Jesus, there's the woman, and there's the disciples. They form the third character, the disciples in the room. Maybe Jesus is testing them as well. You see, the woman passes that first test. She stands her ground. She persists. She stays in the house. And there's this kind of awkward silence. And it's kind of embarrassing. And so what do the disciples do? They say, well, Jesus, do you want us to get rid of her? Do you want us to send her on her way? She shouldn't be in here. We were supposed to come here for a retreat. Should we just get rid of her? And curiously, Jesus kind of plays along with that and says, well, I've come for the lost sheep of Israel, not for foreigners. Technically, you're right. You know, she's a foreigner, clearly not one of the fold that we're trying to gather in. So technically, you're right. So plays along with what they're saying. Well, that's slamming the door in the woman's face, isn't it? Saying, well, look, you're a foreigner. Sorry, can't help. Sorry, try another time or another rabbi. Slamming the door in her face, but still she persists. Still she says, Lord, help me. And she just sinks to her knees and gives the most basic and plain, simple cry for help. Lord, will you help me? And then it plays out even more extraordinary. Because Jesus then says, it's not right to take the bread for the children and toss it to their dogs. I mean, Jesus, what are you saying? I mean, that's not Christian, what you've just said there. Right? It doesn't compute. You can't say that. And we're all left wondering, why on earth does he say this? I mean, it's a downright insult. What is going on? But remember, there are three characters in the room. There's Jesus, there's the woman, there's the disciples. Maybe he's still testing the disciples. You see, for the disciples at that stage in their minds and their thinking, it would be natural to shut this woman out because she's a Gentile, she's non-Jewish, she's not part of the fold. It would be natural to have years and years of ingrained prejudice that thinks, well, this person is a dog and we can treat her like a dog or even worse. So maybe all Jesus is doing is verbalizing, speaking out what the disciples are actually thinking. Maybe he's just playing along with what he knows is going through their head, kind of like holding up a mirror to them and saying, take a good look at yourselves. See what you are thinking now. This is where it goes to. This is the nth degree. In Latin, it would be taking the logic reductio ad absurdum. The nth degree. If you play out what is in your heads and speak it out, this is where it goes. Have a good look. Are you happy with what you see? Do you like that? Holding a mirror to their conscience, up to them. If you remember nothing else from this morning, remember this one simple thing. With Jesus, every episode, everything that happens can be a learning incident, a learning episode, an opportunity to learn and move forward. Everything that happens, whether it's good, bad, indifferent, or ugly, that's an opportunity to learn with him. Maybe he's teaching his disciples something. He's holding up a mirror, challenging their ingrained prejudices. You see, he could have just told them off. He could have said, look, I know what you guys are thinking. You guys are prejudiced. You've still got this Jewish-Gentile divide. You think she's a dog, and it's not right. It's not what I'm about. It's not what my ministry is about. You have got it wrong, and it stinks, and I'm not having it. He could have put them down. But instead, by doing this kind of extraordinary dialogue, he's holding up a mirror to the conscience and enabling them, perhaps, to see the huge gulf between their thinking and their years of prejudice from their own culture and upbringing. The huge gulf between that and where Jesus is and where he wants to go and where he wants them to go with him. Inviting them to be changed. And that's why we have this question for all of us this morning. What does Jesus want to challenge in you? What in your life, what in your thinking, what in your upbringing, your culture actually needs facing down and needs challenging? And if there was a mirror held up to you, what would you see? And would you like what you saw? In the food bank, of course, we have to wrestle with ourselves about potential prejudices and value judgments all the time and keep returning to this concept that whoever comes in, we will not judge. We might think, gosh, their story, that doesn't add up, or there's all kinds of stuff, but we will not judge and have a mirror held up to us, because none of us likes to be confronted in that way. I reckon I could guarantee, I could bet the farm that each and every one of you, if you were confronted and told you have such and such a prejudice, I reckon I can guarantee that each and every one of you, your first reaction would be, no, I don't. No, I don't. You'd deny it. You'd distance yourself. I'm not like that. I don't do that. I don't think like that. None of us likes to be confronted with our prejudices. But Jesus will hold up a mirror to our lives. Incredibly, through this episode, the woman still has faith. Incredibly, at Jesus' feet, having been downright insulted, still says, but Lord, I believe you have got something for me and my daughter. It might just be a crumb that is left over, but that will do. That will do something for me. And holds on. So, of course, Jesus applauds her faith, because all along Jesus has wanted to reach into this lady's life and her daughter. And so he says, your faith has healed you. Or healed your daughter. Technical note, daughter healed at a distance. The daughter's not physically there. We'll have to leave that for another time. And so she goes away and discovers that it's true. Her daughter is now well. But what has been accomplished in the disciples? You see, discipleship, it's not complicated. Discipleship is simple. Follow Jesus. That's it. Follow Jesus. It's not complicated. You don't need to read great long textbooks. Just follow Jesus. But discipleship, where it's so simple, can be incredibly hard. Because in following Jesus, There may be those times where he has to stop and turn around and hold a mirror to our lives and say, have a good look. Do you like what you see? Are you happy with that? But of course, when he does that, that's a grace-filled invitation. That's him saying, look, you don't have to be like that. You don't have to settle for that, because with me, you can be transformed closer towards to be like me in my likeness. It's hard. None of us likes to be confronted. But painful and difficult we might find it, and however much we might want to rebel against it, it's an invitation to be transformed, to go forwards with Jesus. The church, with their security issue and the locks and the doors and the tramp and all that business, I don't know what they did about their locks and their doors, but they did start a work for homeless people in their town or city, driven by that episode. What does Jesus need to challenge in you? What does Jesus need to hold up and allow you to see in such a way that he invites you to change and be transformed, to be more like him? Why don't we stand together to pray and call on God?